Richard Ashcroft. Check the meaning on XFM 104.9. We're back, Steve. It's Saturday.
That's true enough.
Steve Merchant, that is.
Hello there.
I'm Ricky Gervais, obviously.
Hello there.
Carl's still away. Claire Sturges is back.
That's Hello. Absolutely true.
Yeah.
Hello there, Claire. Nice to see you.
Thank
you. I think a lot of people were hoping that Carl would be back this week, but
yeah,
we're pleased to have you.
No, they were, actually. I did get some emails during the week.
Really? Saying what?
Just saying it's really nice to, you know, hear you again on the Saturday afternoon. It's nice, and but you're not really very funny, and when's Carl coming back, you know? So sort of being
sure
nice
it wasn't
to
us.
No, it was definitely
because they think that as well.
Yeah.
But no one can compete with Carl.
Well,
we used to sort of like come in, and when we discovered Carl early on, we just thought this is comedy gold. Just let him speak his mind.
Mm.
But then we started thinking, oh, we can't follow him though.
Yeah.
So I remember Steve going, look, we've got to come up with some
stuff. We need to chat. If anything we've got to say to each other, we've got to say that in the first 20 minutes, and then you just unleash Carl.
Yeah. Because it's just, you can't follow him.
Yeah.
And he's off on one. And they have stories of upbringings with bizarre creatures that lived in Manchester that were half human, half bat and frog and things.
I'd love to take him back to Manchester in some kind of TV documentary. You know, when Carl went home. And just wander back, maybe try and find the amphibian twins or whatever those people were.
So there was two boys, both had big heads and webbed feet. They weren't related. They didn't hang around with each other.
That was all the information we had.
I went, why not? He went, that would have been too obvious.
Yeah.
Like they look at each other across a room and go, yeah, you think if I'm coming to see you just because we've got, just because we're a similar species?
Yeah.
You're mistaken, mate. Yeah. You make your own friends.
One starts to walk over, the other one shakes his head and just mouths, too obvious.
Yeah.
Don't
yeah.
do it, too
out,
obvious.
Out of one of his mouths.
Yeah, that's what they're expecting.
Yeah,
don't do it.
Don't do it. don't do it, Webby.
Yeah, but anyway, he'll be back shortly, I'm sure.
He phoned me, his dad's, ill. His dad's in hospital, so Carl went back to sort of look after his mum. He was so sweet, he said, oh, I'm back here, just driving my mum around. And he said it so unbegrudgingly, he just went, it's like old times. And, I said, oh, sorry to hear that. And he went, that's all right, yeah. I think it's gonna be fine. And I said, how was your holiday? He went, yeah, we're good. Except it were a nudist beach, didn't tell me.
of course it was.
I went, what do you mean? He went, well, sitting on the, I don't know why they have to do it. I don't know why they have to do it. Why do they have to do it? And when Suzanne said they think there's nothing wrong with it, like being a transvestite, right? Right? I went, I love the fact that your girlfriend has to tell you what's wrong and right in the world. And he went, well, we're walking along the beach, fella coming towards us with knob out. I went, oh, what's going on here? Right? And he said, and because it wasn't all nude, he's walking round, he's stark naked and he wants the freedom of that, but he's got a big rucksack on his back with his clothes on just to get changed. He went, so what's the point in that? Right? And I went, he should just carry the book. He went, what, and covered it up when he went, oh yeah, good idea. See? He went, but I wasn't happy. He says, and that was the first day, so we didn't go there again.
I just imagine his little face.
Yeah, just going, all right,
gobsmacked.
That's out,
yeah.
That's out. What's that doing out?
Mm.
Why has he got his out?
I imagine Carl sort of dressed in a suit. In a sort of safari suit, done right up with a cravat. I'm not undressing. I don't want people seeing the flesh.
Oh,
you know, that's for you, love, and no one else.
But I love the fact that his girlfriend goes, Carl, they don't think there's anything wrong with it. They're just happy that way. and he in his own mind just goes, like being a transvestite. He knows there's nothing wrong with that.
I'm always a little bit suspect about people who like walking around nude.
I think you meant transvestite.
No, nudists.
What? Hold on. Can you be a naked transvestite? What are you then?
Yeah, I suppose you're a-
When Eddie Izzard's naked, is he a naked transvestite?
That's an interesting metaphorical, metaphysical question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On XFM 104.9.
If you know the answer to that metaphysical question, or indeed any of the famous ones, if a tree falls in a forest and no one hears it, has it fallen over? Any of those.
Excellent.
That's
brilliant.
Yeah, if you leave the room, Rick,
what's the
does
sound
it get quieter?
What's the sound of one leg hopping?
Exactly. What we got there, Claire?
Do you want some music or
yeah,
a bit more chat?
Yeah.
I've got the Vines actually.
Oh, play it.
Hey Claire, out of the way.
Yeah.
No, I'm not talking to you. It's the name of the song by the Vines.
Excellent.
So, yeah. XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais, with me Steve Merchant.
Hello there.
And Claire Sturges.
Have you ever been to a nudist speech? Have either of you been to a nudist speech?
Yes.
Have you really?
No, last month I went on holiday to Antigua and then I went on the nudist beach.
Really?
I wanted an all over.
Sure.
Because
I was with my family once when we went on holiday, family holiday with
I just saw you going on and an inspector coming along going, and the glasses. And the glasses. And you don't wear them there.
No, I went there with, it was some friends of my it was like family friends, you know, like kids, that, so it was kids my age and my sister's age who, and parents were all friends, you know, go on holiday to this, end up on this nudist beach, not a nudist beach, but where people sunbathe topless or whatever, or maybe, it was just because, it was France, where I think a lot of that goes on, generally.
Yeah, all beaches in,
semi-nude.
No, but that's different, the nudist beach is the cordoned off.
Sure, with the cocks and everything.
We can't say that.
You can't say cocks.
Or did you mean the chicken? You meant the chicken. A lot of
French farms.
Birds around
there
with
is
them.
A lot of poultry,
and by male bird I don't mean transsexual.
You don't mean, no, I don't want it because that's also offensive.
That is also offensive. So be careful. Whenever,
please be careful. Claire, be careful what you're going
to
say.
I just want to say to the radio authority or anyone listening, when we say cock, we are referring to a male bird, and
there is no discussion there. There's no other issue. There's no other ambiguity.
Okay, go on. What are you talking?
So, there's people walking around with their birds and often they got their knobs out as well. it was just a topless beach. So we're all on
holiday. So there were tits there as well?
There were some tits.
We've got a family of tits that come and eat the nuts. That chew on my nuts. Go on.
We're confusing.
No, no, we have! Jane's got a little, bag of nuts. That right. She makes me hang out of the window.
Right.
So
you'll often be hanging your nuts out the window.
And the tits
so that tits can- Sure.
God, I don't know what-
Please!
Go on with this story!
Sorry, so what I'm saying is-
God!
What I'm saying is-
Yeah.
We went on, there was a family there.
Yeah.
There was some tits. There were some cocks. And,
okay.
And I found it all a little bit- Because I was about 14 or something, I found it all a little bit disturbing. Because I hadn't been introduced to this sort of thing before.
Yeah.
And obviously my dad was having none of it. Like, a bit like Carl, and obviously my mum wasn't up for that as well. Right. But the person we went- the mother of the person we went with, she took her top off. And I was like, I didn't know where to look. Because I didn't want to make an issue of it. But it was like, because I was with my mate, I was going, well, I wanted to say, well, there's your mum with her knockers out, really. I mean, that's your mum over there.
Hello, Dave. There's your mum's knockers. There's your dad. There's your dad popped out.
Yeah,
popped out. His little fella out
your
there.
Your dad's fella's there. He's wandering about, and
he's having.
And your mum's
getting a tan on his
old milkers out. So it was all it was a little bit disturbing, and I've never quite got that image out my head really, because it was all. But I didn't know where to look. I didn't know what to do.
A friend of mine. I won't say his name is right. He's about 25 now. When he was, I think, 14 and 15, I mean, the worst age, he went to a nudist holiday with his parents and his sister and some of her sister's friends, and he absolutely hated it.
Yeah.
He absolutely-
Well, it makes me, sort of queasy to think about it. Especially if you're with your family and friends.
Yeah.
Because it's- I don't mind looking at nudie ladies that I don't know, really, but I don't want to look at relatives, you know, or people I've grown up with, or indeed the likes of you. I don't want to have to see that kind of flesh, then. I don't want to know what's going on underneath those clothes. You know, you're keeping them hidden from me. Well, you haven't. You've shown me much of it in the time I've known you.
So sometimes
there's not a bit of your body I haven't seen at some point. You know, you'll have got your trousers down. Look at the arse. That was, you know, thinking that was hilarious, or the old, you know, the Johnson
feeding the birds on the windowsill. It is strange because there isn't anyone with it. Let's face it, there isn't anyone with it. But I know what you mean.
I think it's because we spend so much of the time covering it up. You know, it's like in the summer months when girls start wearing kind of short sleeve t-shirts or short skirts. You'll have blokes just going mental. I think it's because women spend most of the year because it's so cold here covered up that men forget what's under there.
You know,
when summer comes around, they can't believe it.
Actually just hang out of a car window or hang over scaffolding and say, "Get your tits out."
Mm.
I want to go. Has that ever worked?
Has it ever worked?
And what's your success rate with that?
I was off to my big job in the city, but I got 20 minutes. Why not? Shall I come up there? Or are you going to come down?
Oh dear!
Extraordinary.
Oh. Right, what we got? What we got coming up? What we got coming up? Quick, keep them hooked.
Well, you know, Rick,
we've got some songs and some more chat.
There'll be some chitter chatter, and there'll be some songs. We had an email last week from a fella calling himself Paul. I don't know if that's his real name. He said that sometimes
I'm suspicious.
I'm already suspicious.
Yeah.
He said that some time ago we played a cracking Johnny Cash cover version of U2's One. Remember that? I think maybe the last time you were here, Claire.
Oh,
maybe.
Class.
And he says he's been trying to track down that album. He says, unfortunately, like an idiot, I didn't listen to it, and I didn't catch the name of the album. Could you, by any chance, send me the album?
He's having a laugh.
He's having a laugh.
What, for free?
Yeah. So that's not going to happen.
Actually, email him back. Say, Paul.
Shall I do it now?
Give us £8 for no reason.
I've also called him some quite offensive names.
It's a good thought,
I'll put, from Gervais.
Oh dear. He's not gonna like that.
That's pretty grim.
Nor was his mother.
No.
He shouldn't have brought her into it.
Indeed.
Johnny Cash.
Oh, I don't know.
Johnny Cash. Change from a Durex machine.
Oh, that's funny. Johnny Cash and his cover of U2's One, magnificent tune. That's from the album American 3, Solitary Man, that was released in 2000. And I've just checked that email that Paul, if indeed that is his name, sent us, Rick, and he didn't ask for a copy of the album, he asked for the name of the album.
Right.
So, I feel a little bit bad that I sent that email back insulting him and his mother.
Yeah.
And also, of course, I CC'd it to his mum as well, and many of her friends.
So, send another one.
I feel,
I think we can get around this. I'll tell you what Paul would like if that is his real name.
Yeah.
He'd like some adverts.
He'd love some bloody adverts, Paul.
Oasis, Little by Little, on XFM 104.9. I'm just moving the mic there. Hold on, I'm getting comfortable. There you go. Right, sit up. I was landing.
A lot of people do that. A lot of people do that during the song. A lot of the old pros. No, a lot of the old pros, like Foxy and Tarrant and the like.
They were on Top of Pops yesterday, but they did My Generation.
Any good?
Yeah, very good.
Mm.
I mean, you know,
was it close to the original, or did they make it their own?
No, both. It was pretty close. They did, you know, musically it was close, but you know, they had a certain.
Was it Noel singing or Liam?
Liam, very very cool, very cool. Good swagger, he's an attitude back. Yeah. I think back on form.
A lot of people tell me though that if you go to any of these big stadium gigs they do now, it's an absolute nightmare because a lot of the fans are really grim. I mean, I've spoken to two people independently who've both been at gigs where there have been fans weeing on other fans' shoes. That's not what I want from a gig.
That's not nice.
No,
they own
not good.
Them then.
Well, yes, apparently.
That's theirs, then.
Oh, yeah. What, if you wee on something-
Yeah, you own it. That's it. Cat law.
Because cat law. Yeah, cat law is if you wee on something, then you own it, I know you live by cat law.
I do, because
I've my wallet, I think you own. And,
several telephone boxes. Yeah,
much of my hair.
What were we talking about?
We were talking about nudie beaches. Because I still can't get around the-
I don't know why they only play volleyball.
No, that's all they do, don't
they? Surely there's other games you could play. I think French cricket would be slightly more.
All the pictures I've ever seen of news colonies always seem to be quite attractive women and some fairly grizzled sort of 45-year-old men. I don't know if that's generally the clientele, that, you know, it just happens to work that way. But I'm quite looking forward to getting to around the 45 mark. I'm just cruising down.
Happy birthday. Right, I'm off.
Exactly.
Where are you going without your clothes?
Yeah. And at what point, I mean, you can't go into a nudist colony, can you, without taking your clothes off?
I don't know if there's a door policy.
No.
Where there's sort of
I think there is. I'm sure.
Oh, actually, no, because when I went to my nudist beach, there was actually a security guard
stopping you from
naked.
No, no.
No, Claire.
That's very
would it be
strange.
Possible for a bloke who was, say, a fairly good swimmer to swim up to the beach in a wetsuit and not
France.
Have to come-
Okay, well,
let's say, just say for the sake of it, that this person, you know, had some time on his hands in a week.
Yeah.
You know, and he was, he'd made quite a bit of money.
He trained 9 hours a day at the lengths in the pool, thinking if I can get the Eurostar de France.
It could work. Yeah.
So what was your nudist beach experience? This was not a colony.
No,
but
no,
a colony
it just
of
was a choice that this place had a few beaches. One of them was a nudist beach.
And could you see the nudist beach from the regular beach?
No, you couldn't. You see, it was just around the
corner.
What
about with binoculars?
Possibly. But you see, my worry is as a healthy young man.
Yes, you're not a healthy young man, are you?
No, but I'm talking about you two.
You're right, sure.
You're pretty healthy young men.
Mm.
How awkward it must be for you on a nudist beach if you do happen to see a very good-looking naked lady.
Mm.
What you do if you?
Well, that's the reason I've not gone to any.
Okay,
just exactly that worry.
Because it is very off-putting.
Yes, if you had, you. It sounds like this is a confession.
Well, exactly, yeah.
Go on,
that
what
did
happened?
Actually happen to us.
Really?
An older gentleman. An older gentleman obviously was enjoying his time on the beach.
Right, explain more.
And then came over to chat. And you just don't know where to
Sorry, so hang on, so he approached you?
Yeah, for a chat, as you do, people are friendly.
Right, without wishing to get too lewd, within a state of arousal. Is
How
that the
far
case?
Can we go down this?
No, I'm not trying to sort of, I don't want to get too kind of, you know, graphic. Or gynecological.
Have you noticed?
Gynecological.
I was going to say how quiet Ricky was keeping.
But so he came over.
Well, I'm worried about this. I'm worried about telling this story.
But I think it's an interesting. I think this is an interesting point.
Yeah.
Because it's a. So he came over and he was just chatting away.
Yeah.
quite proudly.
Yeah. Well, eventually got quite proudly.
Yeah. And what was, why was this, Claire? I mean, not wishing to be disrespectful, but you know, he's a man, he's been around a bit. Were you reading erotic poetry? What were you?
No. I was talking about the weather.
Right.
About how nice it was today.
And he approached in pole position, or did he?
No.
Or did he?
I don't like it anymore.
Fine, okay.
God. I don't like it anymore. Right.
Let's leave it then.
That's what I did. I actually ran away.
You ran away? That's terrible.
I went swimming.
Was he French? Was it quite tricky to speak to him?
Oh, no, no, he spoke perfect English.
So, right. during the break, like, Claire said, I went on the switch ones, right? And this man came over, an old fella, And she started off, a bit left out, said, he had the biggest knob I've ever seen. And then I laughed, and then she went, and then it got bigger.
No.
And I went, you can't tell it then. I was worried about that. But she left out the funny bit and just went, you just went all weird. Yeah. So, play Bob Dylan. Only Bob Dylan can get us out of this. This is off, his last album, Love and Theft. It is the only track I really like, I'm afraid. I didn't get on with the rest of the album because it was too hoedowny and country blues and stuff, which is just not my sort of thing. But this is a nice track called Mississippi.
Bob Dylan.
Mississippi. Off the album Love and Theft. I must admit, not my favourite Dylan album, but that's a nice track, isn't it?
It's a lovely track, actually. I just noticed there you've brought in three CDs.
Yeah.
You bring those three in every week, don't you? You just play from those three CDs. Or you substitute the Dylan for different Dylan albums,
yeah,
and the other two remain the same.
Well, no, I've got them playing a different Cat Stevens. I've got T for Tillerman. I've never brought that in before.
Yes, you have?
Altogether.
No, I've seen it before.
No, I've never played anything off T for Tillerman. I've played it off Catch Bullet 4, Teaser and a Fire Cat.
You don't have a sort of deal with Island Records to try and keep that Cat Stevens back catalogue afloat. No one's really shifting it.
I think it might just be CDs that are in the bottom of a bag.
This is why I'm
so lazy.
It's just you've got one carrier bag that you bring back.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll look forward to those later.
Yeah. Go on.
No. I was just really wondering, Rick, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but could I have some adverts?
Yeah. Feeder. Come back around on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais.
Hello there, Steve Merchant here.
Of course you are. And so's Claire Sturgis in a way.
That's true enough.
Yeah.
Rick, I parted till it was, I parted last night, Rick, like it was 1999.
Really?
All over again.
What, old-fashioned sort of way, some
yes,
old records.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, on my own. In my flat, crying.
Just like 1999.
Yeah, just like 1999. Now, went to see Prince. At the Hammersmith Apollo, and I tell you this, I mean, if that's a man whose career is going down the pan, then I'm sorry.
Then I hope ours does.
Then I hope ours does as excitingly as that.
Does.
Because he was stunning. I mean, a lot of people I know have seen him in the 80s or whatever, and when he used to descend from a ceiling in a little red Corvette and stuff, but he is breathtaking. He's like what it must have been to see Elvis Presley.
Well,
I've not seen anyone who's electrifying on stage.
I mean, I think like most people had a bit too much for him, and that wasn't because it was going downhill. It's because he churned out double albums like most people churn out singles, and you don't know what you should.
You can't take it all in.
There was just too much.
Yeah,
I didn't like the sort of the end of the 80s phase either. But
that whole period when he was fighting with Warner Brothers, and he started wearing masks.
And
I think everyone just thought, I'm not interested.
Yeah,
you know, you're potty.
But
he's going to come out the other side of that.
Great tracks, though. Great pop tunes, and he's written. I think he's brilliant.
I mean, I don't bandy this word around, Rick, as you know.
Go on.
But I'd like to use the word genius.
I thought you were going to say I'll pay for that.
No. Genius.
Oh, wow.
Genius. Because I would say...
strong word, Steve.
It is a strong word, Rick.
Can you back it up? Have you got any example of his work that we could play now on XFM to show that he is a genius?
I will in just 1 second. Thanks for asking. But, can I try and justify that? Can I just... because it is a controversial phrase to use. Prince is a genius. And let me tell you why. On his first album, or maybe on a couple of his first albums, he played all the instruments.
Brilliant. Like Squiddly Diddly.
Exactly.
In one episode of that I saw. Diddly was playing the piano with his two tentacles. Then he was like playing drums with two tentacles at the back. He was standing on two tentacles, which was the other one free for trumpet.
That sounds like genius to me.
Yeah. Oh,
that's what Mr. Prince. The only thing I would say about the concert last night, 3 hours, he played for 3 hours non-stop. Well, almost 3 hours, non-stop. Didn't take a break. A cracking band, only 5 minutes.
Imagine taking a break, just reading a paper, having a coffee, going, what are you looking at?
And also very
witty. I've got 20 minutes, by law.
Very witty as well, because a lot of people imagine him being quite dry and quite sober. It was very funny. But, sadly, Prince now, well, I don't mean to be offensive, but as far as I'm concerned, he's now a Jehovah's Witness.
He's
now a Jehovah's Witness.
So he's gonna come round tonight?
Well, no, but at the end, he did sort of spout on about, his beliefs.
Yeah.
And I felt a bit like I'd sort of, do you know what I mean? Like I'd sort of paid 40 quid and I'd queued up and I'd sat for three hours to then be preached at a little bit. So that was anything that put
well, I'll tell you what, good job for him. He was good value because he'd have got an earful from you if he did. Imagine if he'd not played the singles or only did like 20 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I'd have been livid. I'd have stormed out. I'm out of here. but I did, because
so,
I don't know
Prince,
when-
So, you've had, interesting, Steve Merchant says, Prince is a genius. This is XFM 104.9, coming up to 2 o'clock. Prince is a genius. Can we open the phone lines, please? What's the phone, number there, Claire?
08700-800-1234.
Me and my mate were talking about when people say genius, and they do bandy it around willy-nilly, and it's sort of like, a comedian or something, they go, he's a genius. And we think that there's people in cancer research sort of laboratories and AIDS, and they're going, we lost another one to ITV.
Yeah,
Why didn't he go into science? He could have been the new Newton, but no, he's getting the ratings up for 5.
Exactly.
So, but Prince is a genius. Is he?
Ricky.Gervais@xfm.co.uk if you'd like to email.
Prince, genius, or little fella. It's up to you.
But when you are a Jehovah's Witness, I don't know much about the faith. But are you obliged when you sign up to sort of do your time going door to door? Because it would be amazing. Imagine Prince turning up at your door and just, "Hi, can I come in?" Well, I don't know. And and just coming in and, I'll sing you some of the hits, but I'd like you to buy a copy of this afterwards. I'm not really interested. Which ones are you gonna play? I'm not a big fan of, I don't like, If I Was Your Girlfriend. And anything from Diamonds and Pearls I'm not interested in, so shoot off.
Yeah.
I thought they were gonna start selling The Watchtower at the end.
The most beautiful. I like that one.
Yeah.
Well, those fat people in it.
Does it make him a genius?
Oh, call up 1-0-3-5-9-6-4-2-9. Prince, genius, or bloke with hair?
Well, this has got to be proof of his genius. He played it last night, and it's just dynamite.
There is a strawberry scar.
Prince, of course, and Raspberry Beret, one of the tunes he played last night, and, breathtaking. I have to say, I can't sing his praises enough. Although, didn't manage to get myself into the after show party, where Prince is often renowned for playing with the likes of, jamming with the likes of Rolling Stones.
What would have been your approach to getting?
Hello there, Steve Merchant here, XFM, Ricky Gervais. Any chance I could come in
to your party?
To your party, please?
I'll be honest, can I call you Hanky?
Well, if it helped me get in, yeah.
It won't, but thank you anyway. I'll be honest, Lanky, your chances are slim to none. Four Eyes.
Okay. All right. I enjoyed the concert, if that is any-
Okay.
I could talk about it on the radio tomorrow.
I'm gonna take away that slim.
Okay.
It's none now, freak.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
So go away, yeah?
Cheers.
Okay. Was it something like that?
It was not dissimilar, Rick. There was a lot more profanity last night. And punches were thrown.
Was it last night?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's breathtaking. How's it working out for you, Rick? How's it working out for you being a celeb? How is that working out? How's that panning out for you? Is that alright? Is that working alright, Rick? Is it? Hey, all the fame and everything? How was David Bowie on Tuesday? I read about that. Why did I have to read about your presence at the David Bowie gig in the Evening Standard? Why'd you keep that from me?
Right, okay. Right, I know what you're thinking. I got an invite, it was freebies and I didn't.
Because I discussed this in the past. I said, yeah, if you get invited to David Bowie or any of the big name concerts, I gotta go as well. That's the rule. The rule is that we make the TV show, you're in the show, you become famous, fine, but I need to be able to also get the benefits of that.
Well, I didn't go. Did you read this in the Standard?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, no. It said-
Well, it was in the paper, Rick. It was in the paper.
It said present at the concert. It's absolutely true. I'm not bullshit here. Absolutely true. In the concert were Ricky Gervais and Jonathan Ross. Now, we were invited, but we couldn't go. Neither of us could go. So right. I just think they must have seen a copy of the guest list or someone said they were coming. Or they just guessed. But I didn't go. I couldn't go. So there you go. It was Wednesday and I couldn't go. If I'd have gone, you'd have been there, mate.
Rubbish. Because what worries me is that you were invited or you requested tickets and then you didn't go.
No. What happened was that Bowie's people just said, "Are you coming to the concert tonight?" And I said I couldn't. But let me tell you something.
Wait a minute.
To get you off this track, right? The next night, we did go to dinner with Bowie at someone's house. Well, look, wait, right, listen. It was a very, it was a small affair. It was me and Jane, Jonathan, and Jane. It was, David,
First names.
Yeah, no, no, and, I think it was just old friends of the family. It was a beautiful house. And, it was just us lot and, Richard E. Grant and, Pete Townsend and Charles Saatchi and that. And it was just, you know, I think it was, it's and it was set places as well, so I couldn't have got another. It was weird, because we got there, I mean, it said 8 for 8:30, and I got there at like 8:05, and Jane, we can't go too early. And we went in there, and we, the servants, gave us a drink, and we were standing there, and I was looking around. It was an amazing house, it was a beautiful house, and there's Damien Hirst paintings and Lucien Freud. And I thought, when the host comes in, I'm gonna go, you didn't tidy up for us, did you? But I was actually so overwhelmed, and in through the door, let himself into the door, was Richard E. Grant. And I went, all right. He went, yeah, I'm Richard. I went, yeah, all right. And, I went, just let yourself in. He went, yeah, I live next door. I went, oh, okay. And then, David Bowie came in, and he came over and spoke to me, and he went, I've just seen your video, and then, this isn't helping, is it? Because this isn't helping.
Well, when you, I mean, the phrase I was just going to pick you up there on was, I've just seen your video. Because what, no, I just feel that what,
no, no.
Just for a second. what I feel that David should know is that it wasn't made sort of solely by you.
No.
Or written entirely by you or directed entirely by you. It happens to feature you amongst a myriad of other actors, all of whom are brilliant and equally worthy of an invite to that particular do. Yeah. But you'll notice that the person that's representing the show, what got you a place around this table, you notice the one person that was invited is you.
Yeah.
Just you.
Yeah. Well, there's a very good reason
and
for that.
A woman, what do you know, who wasn't involved with the show? Your girlfriend.
Well, we've got partners, you've got, you know, that's
well,
it.
It's, yeah, it's, but it's, once again, she could have stayed at home.
You could have gone in on
Hello?
Well, I did actually say, if ever I get invited to see Woody Allen, and it's to two people, that it would have to be you and Jane that went, because you're both bigger fans than me, and yeah. I promised that, and she went along with that.
So David enjoyed the show, did he?
He did, yeah, yeah. Yeah, he did, yeah.
And how did the evening pan out? Was it suitably rock and roll?
It was very nice, it was really nice, a pleasant,
what did you have to eat?
I had, there was nibbles sort of coming round.
Nice,
and then,
yeah.
They fed you the food, didn't they? I bet they fed you the food.
And then, we had, what was it? What was for starter? Oh, it was like a ravioli thing for starter. I thought, I won't have too much, I fill up for the fish dish. The fish was lovely. Then there was a sort of chestnut mousse.
And what did you talk about with David Bowie?
Just, you know.
You know.
Music.
Yeah.
Music.
You appearing on his next album.
Yeah! Yeah.
No, what, seriously, what, because I'm interested to know.
It was really nice. He's really so nice and normal. And, he actually came over and, he said, I've just seen your video. And he went, he said, are you going to get the band back together? He meant he'd seen the Room 101. And,
right.
He was basically taking the mickey out of me.
Mm. Mm.
And he was going, no, I thought it was really good.
Because you were just a sort of Bowie ripoff,
exactly,
on you, essentially.
Yeah. And, yeah. And no, it was really, really nice and normal affair. Seriously, it was just really. I mean, I was going, oh my god, there's so and so, there's so and so.
Yeah.
But it was really, we really enjoyed it. It was really pleasant, and everyone was, you know. And at the end, the people whose house it was a friend of his, like a lot of sort of really old friends of his, got out a photo album just like you do, and those pictures of like David Bowie. And,
Dave, yeah, sure. Well, no, I mean, that's the great thing about
Iggy
DB
Pop.
Is he's
no, and Iggy Pop when they're cooking, and Dave was sort of going, look at Iggy cooking. And he was laughing like you do a mate you haven't seen. It was so sweet. It was just so nice. And then, I'm gonna see, play a record, Claire, because he is actually a little bit annoyed with me. Play a record.
Then Robert De Niro popped in.
Yeah.
And it all got a bit depressing.
And Woody Allen.
Yeah.
And he went, do you know anyone that likes my work more than you do? I don't think so. I don't think so.
Coral.
Dreaming of You on yeah. XFM 104.9.
Yeah, one of the only tunes on the album I think worth listening to.
I haven't heard it.
Oh, it's rubbish.
Is it really?
But everyone's singing its praises like they're the saviours of British rock, but it just sounds like the Inspiral Carpets, and I don't mean that as a good thing.
We were
Skeleton Key as well, Steve.
That's not too bad, yeah, but the rest is right.
I think it's not. I think it's more sort of like 1978, 79, sort of those.
Yeah. I don't know what that means, Rick.
Well, I don't think they've ripped off the 90s. I think
old hat, you mean? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah. Like it.
Let me just return very briefly to your
God.
No, I don't. I'm not going to embarrass you, but just returning very quickly to your dinner date with David Bowie.
Yeah.
what intrigued me, as you say, that is that when you
It wasn't because of the office. It was through I think because I met him with Jonathan Ross.
Sure, no, but what I thought
I think
was interesting
he was inviting people he'd met over this time. Cause I think he was going back to America.
Of course, but I like the fact you say that he came over to you and said, "I saw your tape last night." Yeah. I just like the idea that people are sort of saying, "You'll be having lunch tomorrow with Ricky Gervais." I don't know who that is. Well, there's a tape. Watch that, and you'll be able to engage in some conversation. He's a minor celebrity here in Britain. He's had a relatively successful TV show, but we think he's a bit of a one-trick pony. Probably won't be able to repeat that success, so probably won't need to be eating with him in the next 5 years, but be polite tomorrow. He was a big fan of yours. He used to embarrass himself in the 80s doing a sort of vague pastiche of you, and other than that, there's not much else to say, really. Just be polite to him and then move on. Okay, who else has got- You know, it's just sort of- It's very odd that he was given a tape. It's like someone- you know, if you were doing a chat show, you imagine Michael Parkinson would be given a tape.
I know, yeah.
Just watch this, David.
Oh, actually, I think he's been a fan for a long time.
Oh, what?
I think he's followed my career from the 80s.
Sure.
No, yeah. When you put it like that, it's not as flattering, is it?
It's free.
But he was very nice and very polite, and we got on like a house on fire.
Sure.
No, he's great.
Did
he's
you do
really
your impression
funny.
Of him?
No, of course I
did.
Didn't.
You not? Did you feel like the urge to snap into it just occasionally?
And I didn't. I was just going. That's David Bowie. That.
Yeah.
That's still David Bowie. That's David Bowie talking to me now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's David Bowie talking to me now. Yeah. That looks like David Bowie. Yeah. That was what was going through my head.
Yes.
And we're talking about his songs, and like that was bizarre.
Mm.
It was quite surreal, and you know, and I do know a lot about his stuff because I mean, he's quite a musical hero of mine.
Yeah,
and that, so it was.
You didn't mention Tin Machine.
I didn't mention Tin Machine.
Because
no.
I'd just be there just thinking, don't mention Tin Machine, don't mention Tin Machine.
Yeah.
Don't even bring it up, don't even say you like it, because you don't know what he feels about it.
You see, I think if people listen to this show, they go, don't invite Steve Merchant because he's insulting. He insults people, he sends emails to people when he reads them wrongly.
Yeah.
He'll bring up a period of your life you don't want to talk about.
Yes.
Get the little short fat one. He's a lot more polite.
Sure.
Leave out the lanky one.
Yeah.
But
they probably wouldn't say lanky, Rick. They don't know what I look like because they listen to me on the radio. I think they're insulted. They might say, oh, you know, West Country oik or something.
Yeah.
But
who was it I was listening to? Someone yesterday. There was someone had a Bristol accent.
Fascinating.
And no. I think. Oh yeah, it was one of those the Fame Academy. Disappointed, but I think you'll have to get into it. Bit of a shambles at the moment. But I mean, no, there's no investment. I didn't know them. And one of them had a Bristol accent, and I just thought it really is a stupid accent. What have we got lined up, Claire? What have we got?
Well, a bit of John Spencer Blues.
Oh,
explosion.
I love this. I love this. Yeah. This is an old classic guy we brought in today, and I think you'll enjoy it.
Hello.
Don't even start on that, Rick. There's so much I could attack you about. I mean, look at you. Look at you. You're laughable. John Spencer Blues Explosion.
Oh, you do it.
Well,
sorry.
No, I just thought I would.
Yeah.
On account of I brought it in.
And then someone was complaining that we speak over each other.
Yeah, we had an email saying we gabble too much.
And we both went, I don't think we do.
Yeah. Did you say that? I didn't hear you. I was talking at the time.
Yeah.
Right Place, Wrong Time by John Spencer.
Yeah. I don't.
We also had an email. You didn't enjoy it?
No.
We also had an email saying, again,
no, go on. I won't, go on. Sorry. No, you.
You can see why that would annoy me.
I know.
You can see why that might annoy me.
Take your headphones off then, because it must be louder in your headphones, because I don't wear headphones.
No. I'm not so much thinking of me as the people listening at home.
Okay.
The people who pay our wages.
Go on then.
We had an email that said, but I don't know who's the victor in this, Rick. I don't know who's winning with you making that noise. What, you're the only person who's enjoying it.
But well, if I only do this for my amusement.
But there's a handful of people listening, Rick. whose Saturdays, Rick, are empty. They've got nothing.
Okay.
They're running on empty, and this is all they've got.
Okay.
And they want conversation,
okay,
they want an interesting discussion.
What are you going to say then? It depends if it's interesting or not.
Well, let me say it before you make the judgment.
Okay.
So, all right, what about this? If you don't like it, if it's not interesting, then you make the noise.
Okay, all right.
All right.
Okay.
So, this is just, we had an email.
Right.
It said, is Claire Sturgis drunk when she does the show? I swear to God, that was a real email. I've lost it now. But,
really?
So does that warrant the noise, or?
No, that's all right. That's okay, quite interesting,
that's,
yeah.
Yeah, quite interesting.
No,
email.
She's not. No, she's not drunk, is she?
Bit coked up.
That's not true.
Yeah, just
it's
a bit
not true.
The old Charlie.
No, yeah. Not true at all.
No, you don't do drugs, do you, Claire? You're not into drugs, are you?
No, no, no.
Yeah, you're clean now.
I am now, yeah.
Yeah.
How did that
out.
Go for you, the detox?
It's great. It's good. Mainly thanks to you two.
Yeah.
The support.
At least you don't have to steal so much now to,
exactly.
To beat
yeah.
the habit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Are there any drug addicts on this station?
No, not anymore, no.
But you, because I bet there are. I mean, you don't have to name names, but what about initials? are there any skag eggs? Any smackheads at all? Seriously. Because I'm intrigued.
Not anymore, no.
Can you tell me off air who's a drug addict?
Off air, I'll be happy to tell you.
There
not
are
anymore.
Some
though. That's yeah, terrible. There were, not anymore.
No. What do you mean there were? What, they got
no,
rid of
there
them?
Weren't. Yeah. Stop this.
Are there any people who,
no.
They think that they've got it under control, yeah, but they haven't
exactly.
really. It is, yeah. They're awesome, aren't they?
They go in, they think that no one will notice, but they've got no pupils.
Yeah.
And they just stare at you for ages and go, what? At the end of each sentence.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's a couple of drunkards, I know, but there's no... It's boring now? Okay, yeah. Play a record, it's boring. Richard Gervais is telling us it's boring.
Queens of the Stone Age. There. No one knows. It's going well.
I'm enjoying it,
to go.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Adverts or what?
What do you reckon? He's loving them.
He knows.
Getting away with it from Electronic, of course. Fantastic
right.
tune, yeah. No, it's
that's
a beautiful
a mutual favourite of ours. We both like that, don't we, Steve?
We do indeed,
we
yes.
Like
we are mutually appreciative of that track. Richard
yeah.
Gervais, of course. Friend of the stars. Claire Sturgis is here. My name's Steve Merchant. Ahoy.
Yeah, XFM 104.9.
So, I saw you the other day, because I haven't seen you this week, but I did see you, walking down the street holding a gum shield that you just bought. How'd that work out for you, the boxing?
Oh, it was really good,
because
like,
we talked about, are you aware of this, Claire, that he wants to become a boxer? This is something that Ricky talked about the other week on the air. He suddenly
yes.
decided at the age of 40-something that, boxing is really
well,
the profession
no,
he should
have taken. Well, no, hold on, 40-something means 47. I'm just 41.
Okay.
I am 40-something, but 40-something is like a euphemism for nearer 50.
Yeah.
So don't say 40 something.
Okay.
Say 30 something.
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah, he's taking up, but apparently there's something called white collar boxing, Claire.
Yeah.
Did we mention this last week?
No, you didn't, no, but I didn't know something about, I think you mentioned it
yeah,
before, but
he,
not last week. White collar boxing.
Yeah, it's basically, yeah. it's like a kind of, it's like an, a classier version of Fight Club, the film Fight
yeah,
Club, have you ever seen that?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Instead of, they don't meet in sort of dingy cellars, they
no.
meet in what, office blocks? Or?
And it's usually for charity at the Grosvenor or something, or a big hotel, I don't know, and you just have like a bill on there and you punch each other. For charity.
Serious?
Yeah. But anyway, I've been training boxing for a while now, just like, you know, the pads and everything. And last week we started on, sparring, and it is a different level. Honestly, I can work out now for an hour on the pads, and I did about 1.5 rounds, and it was like I was asthmatic. Cause you're also, the trainer, who's a, you know, a boxer himself, put the gum through and he goes, okay, I'm not gonna, and I was giggling with fear. I was giggling with fear. And he said, you gotta get a gum shield just in case. And that's where he saw me. I'd gone to the Lonsdale shop. And I got a gum shield.
I said this before, Claire, is that I just don't think it's a good idea. I mean, you know Ricky, you've known him for a while
yeah.
now. He's not mentally tough, which
yeah.
is a problem, I think. He's not sort of psychologically, he's quite weak. Like, he's scared of a lot of things, you know, cars.
Spiders.
I mean, he'll get, I've seen
yeah.
like edgy, like if a car blows its horn and he's in the house. Do you know what I mean? And he'll hear it outside, you know, what's that? Is it coming through the door? Is it? No, it's all right, Rick. We're on the 8th floor, and it's across town. It's fine, don't worry.
I don't like crossing roads.
No, he can't. I mean, I've never seen a man so terrified.
On the motorway, if someone's going the motorway, well, I'm looking at the speedo, and if it's like 86, 76, I'm going, well, let's go in the slow lane. And I'm looking, my eyes, like saucers, just taking all the information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he can't drive
that's
as well.
That's a rational fear though, isn't it? Roads
but I think
scary.
It's because you can't drive.
Yeah, possibly.
So for instance,
yeah.
the fact that you know, I've seen, I mean, he-
Actually,
cause
Ricky, you're right, because I can't drive and I do exactly the same
yeah,
thing on motorways.
Yeah, so that's alright, yeah.
But do you do this, Claire, which is when you're in the back of a cab and you feel the cab's going too fast, despite the fact that you're, say, driving up Shaftesbury Avenue in rush hour.
Yeah.
So you're never going to pick up a great deal of speed.
Yeah.
But Ricky will, he won't mention it to the driver, I feel you're going a bit too fast, he'll whisper it to me. No, he's basically suggesting to me that I should say something. Because I'm Ricky Gervais off the telly, I don't want to cause a fuss. You better do it, Steve, because you're nobody. That's basically what he's insinuating.
Roads
so I've always
scary.
Got to sort of make the complaint, or I've got, you know. And but you're terrified of, yeah, you're terrified of that. You're terrified of spiders, as we know.
Yeah.
Cobwebs. You're terrified
well, that's
of pictures
rational,
of spiders. That's,
there's no smoke without fire.
Yeah.
I know who made those webs, Steve, and they live there.
Yeah, it was you that got the certificate, wasn't it, raised on the Spider-Man film. So they couldn't show the trailer before, you know, you'd gone to bed. Are you scared of Spider-Man? Does he tell you?
No, I'm not scared of Spider-Man. No, I'm not scared of anything. But I got used to the, you know, in I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, that one that kept walking off the stream, I got quite used to him. I got to know him.
Barry Geller?
Yeah, he was alright.
Yeah,
he was alright.
So you're scared of that?
Tarantulas aren't as scary as the bath ones. Tarantulas are sort of like more furry.
But what about these? Because you know these programs where they'll have people on and they'll sort of like I saw a show once where it was about phobias and a woman was terrified of dogs and a psychologist kind of got her to spend some time with the dog and slowly you've got no urge to sort of try and have that therapy done and so you can maybe deal with your which is basically let's be honest a woman's concern it's a woman's fear Rick, isn't it essentially
that I stand on a chair
exactly
no but I saw one what's that one he's really nice he's not. Jerry Springer, he's really nice and he has, you know, weird people on it. What's his name?
Montel Williams?
No.
Montel Jordan?
No. About 50.
This could
Maury!
Go for,
Maury!
Yeah.
Maury Povich. Maury Povich.
Yeah. He's the one without glasses, isn't he?
Yeah.
Who cares? You saw Maury Povich.
Yeah. And there was like these women on there, right? And the, you know, sort of, you know, trailer trash. And they were going, you're scared of snakes, aren't you? And then a woman would go on a snake and she'd be screaming, knocking things over. And I'd go, well, that's not doing anyone any good. Really. Yeah. That's just for the audience to prove her point that she's terrified.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was like tinfoil and someone brought on millions of bags of tinfoil and she was screaming,
what,
hugging
she was
him.
Scared of tinfoil?
Yeah, that's worse, isn't it?
Scared of tinfoil is pretty mad.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's irrational. You can't
I know somebody
link it
who's afraid of buttons.
Yeah, you, anything.
Afraid of buttons.
Yeah, there's something weird going on in your head, isn't it? It's some sort of weird symbolism.
But I understand the snake one or the spider one because I understand, you know, there are poisonous spiders and snakes.
Well,
but,
it also could be sort of like
buttons.
Chemical memory. Yeah, that could be, you know, but it's usually some, you know.
But how do you, because I don't know, because I don't have any irrational fears, particularly.
Well, don't confuse
except when you're flatulent. That I'm terrified of, because you never know when it's going to spring, because he's not got any of the social graces, Ricky. He'll just think it's funny to just pass wind, you know, dinner. I don't imagine he did it during dinner with Bowie, but if I'm having lunch with him, oh, it's just, because he'll just start grinning, and you know it's on the, you know it's on the way, Claire. You know there's something in the post when Ricky starts just, when a little kind of, when his lips curl up, you're having lunch maybe, here it comes. And it is, I tell you, it is eye-watering stuff, I mean it's intense.
Oh, tell that story when you're on the train.
There is only one smell that is worse than Ricky Gervais' flatulence. I was on a train once and, a guy was on there with his dog, and the dog passed wind, right? I don't know what he'd been feeding it, like sheep or something. You know, cattle. He must have been feeding it some, you know what I mean? Like intestines or something. It was intense. This smell pervades the carriage. You know, because they're all like air, they're all kind of air conditioned or they're tight, so there's nowhere for the smell to escape. So it's just kind of spreading, like in this kind of invisible sort of stench that fills up the carriage. I tell you, people's eyes were bleeding. Do you know what I mean? It was like, that's how, but it was just, it was unbelievable. I felt like my face was melting, like that bit at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. That was how it felt, right? And the bloke, who was obviously a bit embarrassed, said, oh, I don't know sometimes. I don't know who's worse, you know, with their flatulence, you know, people or dogs. And I wanted to go, I've got an idea! How about dogs? What about your dog? It was unbelievable. But it's that, let's try and make a joke of it. No, get off the train at the next stop. It was just, I mean, I don't like people with dogs anyway, just generally, you know, you'll see people, no, Rick, when you see people walking down the road with dogs, and they just let a dog, you know, do its ones or its twos on the side of the road, and then they just walk on, I just don't know what that is.
No,
it's
you're
like,
not meant,
it's
that's wrong,
it's,
yeah,
no, but it is right, and it really winds me up, because you'll see people, it'll be like old ladies, or kind of toffs, or something like that, and they were the sort of people that will complain about, you know, bad language on TV, or youths, you know, or ne'er-do-wells hanging out by bus shelters, but they're happy for their dogs to, you know, go crapping on the sidewalk. They anger me, people with dogs who just are irresponsible like that. You know what I mean?
Well, that's nothing to do with liking dogs, is it? That's arrogance of people to think it's
But there are a lot of people, as I say, who are kind of, you know what I mean, who think they're better than, they don't have to worry, they don't have to bend down and scoop it up.
I know.
Which is what they should do.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, that's,
I got that off my chest.
Yeah.
Play a record.
U2, Electrical Storm, they've done it again. That is beautiful, that track.
I know you used to disrespect U2.
I just didn't like them for 10 years, and then, All That You Can't Leave Behind came out, and I sort of thought, well, I could have been wrong, and that's brilliant.
So, Rick, you know earlier I mentioned, Prince, and
yeah.
We asked the question, is Prince a genius or
yeah.
not? We've had a lot of response,
What's
mainly by email. Interesting, Rick, some people think he is, and some people think he isn't.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, this debate will rage on. Can we have some adverts? Well, in the last half hour, Steve, they've heard Nirvana, they've heard Oasis, they've heard great, they've heard Dylan. We've got coming up. We've got Cat Stevens. We've got Tom Waits. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Now
it's great music.
We're playing a lot of music and talking less in the last bit. Now some people, right, would say that's because we're running on empty and we ran out of things to say at 20 past. The first hour.
Yeah.
Like, I say it's because we want to get in some great tracks.
Well, that's my excuse as well.
What's next? Cat Stevens off Tea for the Tiller Man. I've got nothing, Steve.
You're running, I know. Well, it's the noise. I think the noise was the lowest point.
Is it the noise?
The noise was really
annoying. Miles from nowhere. Guess I'll take my-
Cat Stevens from Tea for the Tiller Man.
So many people, Rick, haven't even got a Cat Stevens record in their collection, and you hear tunes like that, you just think, do you
why?
Know what I think of them?
You think why?
I think why, Rick.
We just had someone phoning up saying they want a bit of Psychedelic Furs, and Claire said, oh, what's your favourite track? And we both went, it'd be Pretty in Pink.
Of course.
And it was.
Yeah.
But you know you're meant to say, like on Heart or Magic, you're told to say, coming up a classic by so-and-so, and people stay watch it in case it's their favourite, and if it's not, you don't give that away. But it doesn't work when it's things like, I hear things all the time like, after this, a classic from Men at Work. That'd be Down Under
yeah.
then.
Yeah.
Coming up next, a beautiful tune by Danny Wilson. Mary's Prayer. It's Mary's
yeah,
Prayer. It can only be Mary's Prayer.
Yeah.
No. So it doesn't work with those that they've had one hit.
Yeah. Or a tune from, Hearsay. Oh, I hate them all.
Nice.
You're because like rock
oh,
and roll
come on,
that we
Steve,
hate them all.
Don't kick them when they're down.
Yeah, it's true enough. God, what other pop
thing,
do we hate?
You know that thing, yeah.
Well, no, we all hate pop music, don't we? That's
yeah.
why we're an alternative station.
Agadoo's rubbish.
Oh, I hate it. Russ Abbott, Atmosphere. There's no atmosphere in here with that playing. Oh.
last night's thing started, the Fame Academy. And I'm quite a sad telly watcher, and I've been looking forward to that for about 2 weeks. I fell for the hype. I can't believe it. I love Pop Idol. I love Pop Stars the Rival. I love Celebrity Fit Club. I love all those things, right? Just disappointing because they'd already picked them. I think it's investment. And I'll be honest. I think the standard was poor.
The standard was poor.
I think so.
And are these people with different abilities, or is it all singing?
It's all singing. It's rather like they've got us down to the last 12 of Pop Idol, say.
It's like that, you
yeah.
come in at that level.
But to be fair to the programme, I think it's all about what happens next, because like now they get voted out like Big Brother.
Right.
And
so do they write their own material and stuff, or
they'll
be just
taught to do that, they've got the whole team together and everything, so then they're filmed, you know, like for the 24 hours a day and everything. And so, I think you've got to get into it and get to know these people. There's already a few I go, right, she's annoying.
Yeah.
Right, vote her out. And they have to, there's three that the teachers say each week, okay, you're up on probation. And then you vote them out, and it gets it down to one person. But the interesting thing is, it's not just they get a record and they release a single, they live the life for a year.
Right.
So they get this beautiful sort of pad in Notting Hill Gate, they get a sports car, right. And it says they get to go to parties. They're already set up to go to the FA Cup final, the Brits and all those things.
Dinner parties with David
Bowie. Yeah. Meet all these people, and then after a year it's taken away from them.
Wow.
They just take everything back.
And you don't like this because you feel it cheapens, like, your celebrity lifestyle, which you've worked for.
No, but the other thing is, of course, they could be big stars by then, and they just have to get their own car. But, how do they, what?
That psychologically is going to be grim.
But are we going to follow it up for that year? Are we going to, is it like?
Well, that's when it becomes interesting. I mean, now, camera crews following Hearsay, now that's interesting.
Yeah, I know, and that
now
what Jay did
what
next,
yeah, exactly.
when they actually, yeah, yeah, that,
yeah.
But I don't know how they're going to do it.
Do you, how long, Jane, Jane, why do I call you Jane? There's so many, the name Jane's been mentioned so many times.
You can call me whatever you like, Steve.
Love. Well, how long do you reckon Ricky would last in the Big Brother house? If he was in Celebrity Big Brother, how long would Ricky stay in there?
Well, you see, as a...
Well, it depends, you see. Go on, you answer.
No, because as someone who would be watching Big Brother if Ricky was in there, I would make sure that he stayed in right till the end, just for comedy value.
Of course. Well, of course, because you know he's irritating. He's a sort of...
So I'm Chris Eubank,
you're the Chris Eubank of the house. But obviously, a lot of people tend to vote out the most irritating, annoying, most loathsome person.
Well, they want to get rid of me, but the public presumably might want me in there as a sort of irritant.
I think the public would turn against you as well. I know you, Rick.
Right, well, that's
it. Expose you for the charlatan you are. We haven't played a song for the ladies for weeks, because I just keep forgetting to bring one in.
I need one.
Thank you, Jane. I thought, you know, I haven't played Tom Waits for a while, and this is, you know, one of his classics, and it's just beautiful, beautiful tune, and however many times you've heard it, it's still brilliant. Downtown Train, Rick.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Back next week, and Carl hopefully is back with us.
Carl, I think, will be, yeah. Well, we don't know, but
let's hope everything's okay.
I'm sure it is, and we'll see him next week.
Thanks, Jay.
Goodbye, everybody.